Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Bat. They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you.
The NBA is going to Disney World, folks. Not that you're totally surprised by that, but it's getting closer to a reality. Adrian Wojnarowski, within the last half hour, has been tweeting up a storm. The NBA's Board of Governors has a 12:30 call tomorrow. The intention is for them to approve the league's plan for a 22-team return to play in Orlando. Sources tell ESPN each of the 22 teams will play 8 regular season games in Orlando for seeding purposes for the playoffs. The NBA is inviting 22 teams. How would you assume that that breaks down? 22 teams. How would you divvy that up?
What do you mean, how would you divvy it up?
Well,
you
know,
how do you get to 20? How do you arrive at the number 22?
I would say 11 and 11. 11 from the Eastern Conference, 11 from the Western Conference. They're not doing something different than that, are they?
I'm assuming that's what you would have said, right? 11 and 11?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Nope. 13 Western Conference teams will get invited.
Oh, my God.
And 9 Eastern Conference teams.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what do you mean?
I know. So, I don't blame you.
Hey, you know what?
Like, what? What do you
mean?
You know
what? For the NFL next year, we're going to take, you know what? We're not going to have 2 byes in the American Football Conference. We're going to give them to the NFC. We're going to have 4 byes there.
So I don't blame you. I don't blame anyone for having the same reaction that Zoe had, which is, what are you even asking me?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
How would I divvy up?
They're inviting the 22 teams. What divvy what up?
What's there to divvy up?
Well, they're going to invite 13 Western Conference teams and 9 teams from the Eastern Conference. They will have 8 regular season games apiece. There will be a play-in, however, for the 8th seed that will take place as well. So as I understand it, they're going to play regular season games. They're going to play 8 games apiece. If the 9th seed is more than 4 games behind the 8th seed.
Oh, Jesus.
The 8th seed makes the playoffs. If there's a fewer than a 4-game separation at the end of the regular season games, they will then have a play-in tournament before the playoffs begin. Do you follow?
Now, wait. Hold on a second. Before
no,
we get to,
I don't.
Before we get to, Beetle, to be fair, there are, if you're just doing a percentage of teams from each conference, there are way more teams in the Western Conference than there are in the Eastern Conference, right? It's not like it's a 15-15 split, is it? Hold on. Let me check. Oh, crap. Never mind. No, it's the way it's always been. It's 15-15.
Well, they felt the Western Conference was more deserving, so they just put those Western Conference teams in.
Oh, my God.
I'd be gone nuts.
Oh,
but
I
no,
would be gone nuts.
But do you guys hear this, though? So then they're going to play the games, and then the teams will be seeded. So Celtics seed can go up or go down, as can every other team. But when they get to the end of those regular season games, if there is a 4-game or more gap between the 8th and 9th seed in each conference, that's it. They're done. They don't have to do anything else. The 8th seed is in. But if, let's say, the 9th seed trails the 8th seed in each conference by 2 games or 3 games, those 2 seeds are now going to also have to play an additional play-in tournament. So the play-in tournament between 8 and 9 may or may not happen. They don't know yet.
But it's not a normal tournament if they do the
play-in. Oh, really? Really?
No, I haven't got to that. Hey, Jim, slow down. Jim, slow down. We haven't got to the rules of the play-in tournament yet. It is a... You ever have in your lifetimes like a Little League double elimination playoff system?
Oh, Jim has that. In his
where
softball.
You might end up getting matched up against the team at the end where you've got to win twice, but they've only got to win once.
Yeah, you come out of the loser's bracket and play the team that was in the winner's bracket. Yeah.
Right, because you lost a game earlier and the other team hasn't yet.
Yeah, it's called the KP Cup here in Rentham. Yeah.
Beautiful. You know what it is. Double elimination, how that works.
Totally. Yep.
Well, it's going to be a double elimination format in the play-in tournament, despite the two teams having not played any games in said tournament yet, which means the eighth seed will only need to win one game to move on. The ninth seed will have to be single elimination. They have to win both to move on.
After not playing for how many months?
Well, no, they're going to be playing eight regular season games before this even happens.
I know that, but I'm just saying, still.
So it's double elimination for the eighth seed and single elimination
double
for the ninth.
Secret elimination.
So the ninth seed, once they become the ninth seed and they are within four games and they have an opportunity to play in the play-in, they then have to win two games against the eighth seed in order to advance. The eighth seed will only have to win one. Do you follow?
Huh?
Everyone following so far?
No, I mean, I understand it when you explain it in detail, but you still get lost in everything. I'm still
lost.
Well,
yeah, there's a lot here. A lot here.
I understand the overall concept of it, and I understand double elimination. I'm still scratching my head as you walk through this. And for most people that don't grasp sports that well, this can be very difficult for a lot of people. Unless you've got kids in these tournaments and you understand the layout and what it's going to end up being.
But normally when you get in the double elimination, it's because you've got a, you know, you've lost in a tournament that is being played. They're just starting as if they'd already.
All they want you to do is get your X amount of games, get your money, even though you entered the tournament as a team. One of 64. Yep.
I mean, what is really the point, though? If they're not
trophies.
Just going to do... They should just do 8-8. And what they're going to do, I mean, I just can't get past the whole 13-9 thing.
I can't.
What, you don't like that they're going to play nearly 100 regular season games? They're going to play almost 100 regular season games down there before they ever get to a playoff game. You don't like that?
I can't believe they're conference tipping this. I can't believe it. I can't believe basketball will allow them to do that.
There's going to be 96 games? There'll be how many games is it?
88.
Okay, 88 games is the total. So 88 games will be played down there in Orlando in the two arenas on the complex at Disney World.
Said two to four per day, right? Two to four per day.
2 to 4 games per day.
I mean, for the people who are digging basketball and they just want to see any team play, fine, you're going to get that. But if what you're trying to accomplish is a playoff and then have a champion crowned, you don't even need 8 teams from each conference.
Well, let me tell you.
Are the Magic going to knock off the Bucks, or are the Grizzlies going to take down the Lakers out west?
Can I say this, though, Hardy? Yeah. This is totally legit, though, at the end.
Yes, at the end.
Like, in terms of the process that the NBA did, no one could question whether or not they tried to be, like, you know, as close to normal as possible. They went above and beyond in that regard.
Yeah, it's with the exception of putting more emphasis on a win total for the overall league, which is what they're doing by taking more Western Conference teams. They're looking at win totals up until the shutdown, and they're using that as their gauge to who makes it into or who has a chance to make the playoffs, not per conference, but league-wide. And that is not how it works, but it's how it's going to work down in Orlando starting at the end of July.
Yeah, more on this. Let's get to more on the Orlando plan.
Jesus.
The Orlando plan for the NBA.
And to their point, they're not – I mean, it isn't just willy-nilly. If you look at where teams stood after, you know, at the shutdown, the Wizards were the first team on the outside looking in at 24 wins in the East. You have to go all the way down to the second-to-last team in the West before you get anything close to 24 because the Grizzlies are at 32. They're the eighth seed in the Western Conference, and behind them, outside of the playoffs, The Trailblazers have 29. The Pelicans have 28. The Kings have 28. And the Spurs have 27 wins. And the Suns have 26. So they all those teams have more wins than the first team on the outside looking in the East. So I understand why they're doing it. It's just that's not how it's done. But it's right. How it's going to be done this year. And
right.
Guess
except
what?
We get the unbalanced, except you have an unbalanced schedule in the NBA in your division and your conference. So win totals are you can't just all of a sudden then take win totals,
which is why they don't do it like that
right,
in any other year.
They never do it like that. Thank you. All right, let's bring it back on the other side with the timeline, how they expect to get all this done and when it will be completed. We have that information as well. It's next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, taking a look at the NBA standings, it really is a race to try and get the eighth seed in each conference for the teams that are not in it. And in the in the East, when you look at it, I don't understand how a team like Charlotte doesn't have a complaint, I guess.
That's what I'm saying. Eventually, you're going to get to the next grouping of teams that feel that they got eliminated unfairly. Because not balanced. It's not conference balanced.
Yeah. I mean, is it highly unlikely that they would get in? Yes, it's extremely unlikely.
No, I understand. Yes. But they would under this current format. Right?
But they're allowing five additional teams that are not in the playoffs in the Western Conference, and they are all bunched together.
Yeah.
Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, San Antonio, and Phoenix, because God knows we all needed to see those teams.
Okay. So we got that all done. You mentioned the timeline.
Like, we need to see Phoenix. They're 26-39 on the year. We need to see them? What do we need to see them for?
You know.
Well, I guess the Thunder's owner there, he's probably thrilled with this. Yeah. With all these bad teams in. Memphis is 32-33 on the year. They've got the eighth seed right now with a losing record. Obviously, Portland only trails them by, you know, three games back, as are the Pelicans, but I don't know. I just thought maybe they'd find a way to maybe even this up. But mathematically, I do understand why it makes more sense to have more teams in the Western Conference.
Plus, they're making up money by having 88 regular season games to play.
Right, and that's what it is. Because when you watch those Western Conference teams, you've got teams that believe they have a shot.
Yeah.
Is what it is. They believe there's a chance.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, too, with some with health. Go ahead with the timeline, though.
Timeline. They're going to be done by October 12th.
Wow.
All of this will be wrapped up.
And it could be sooner. That would be game seven of the final.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, that's moving. You're going to get 88 games in that. Wow.
Plus playoffs. Full playoffs. 12th.
And four rounds of the playoffs.
Yeah, the first game will be played. The play-in for the eighth seeds, obviously, would happen somewhere in that timeline, but even with that, the end would be October 12th, and the first game will be July 31st. July 31st in Orlando will be the start of the restart of the NBA season.
Wow.
To be ratified tomorrow in Disney World. Yes.
The way Woj ends that tweet with "the NBA is back," you got to believe it's going to get ratified, right? He won't tweet anything like that.
No, this is the plan that they put together because this is the plan they want to pass. Yeah.
I've been telling you that, too, that people I've talked to in the TV part of the industry with sports have said from day one that the two biggest ones to make sure that you're up and running and that you need to get back or start on is the NBA and the NFL. And here, NBA looks like they got themselves a plan here.
Now, so I want to know
the pick of the hotels. That's the thing. See, we're Disney Vacation members. Disney Vacation members, once Disney starts to open, you have your choice and pick of hotels.
They blocked out Coronado Springs.
Blocked out the hotels.
Okay. Oh, Coronado Springs. I
remember that
one, huh, Jim?
They
shut
built
it down.
A brand new tower, apparently, Coronado Springs.
Okay.
And it's closed to the public.
They're popping them up everywhere. I'd rather be well off campus if I was them.
The whole point is to be on this. They don't have to leave the property.
I know, right? That. They don't leave the Disney property, but I would want to be as close to the wide world of sports as you can. And not near any one of these parks where you hear stuff. It's sort of distracting, you know.
Well, where is that hotel?
Coronado Springs is really off. That's off.
Okay, so then solved. All set.
That's pretty good, yeah.
It's not like the monorail's driving through it like that one hotel,
exactly.
And like people are getting out and going in the hotel.
The Polynesian, right? That's
I love that. Right. Polynesian, the contemporary. Oh, nice one's a Grand Floridian. That one's swanky.
What was the other one? The Dolphin and Swan? Is that still there?
Dolphin and Swan. They're over by Beach Club. Beach Club Boardwalk. Yep.
This,
you get Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, oh, this Coronado Springs place is huge.
Dude, it's massive.
It's way down Buena Vista Drive there. I'm checking the map right now. It's gone from the Dolphin and Swan.
Tell you what, the families and the kids are going to have their own nice little pools and areas to play in and hang out.
This is like a village. This is a village, this Coronado Springs.
You have your own little mini NBA world there.
That's damn near down to Disney's Winter Summerland.
I've never been to any of these places. I have no idea what any of this is.
All right, so there you go. They've got a plan. I'm curious to know. This is the next part I'm curious about. What we've talked about, you know, potential safety plans and testing and cleaning the arena and things that need to happen. Sort of the logistics of it now. I've sort of been bored by these things because they've all just been talked about like as what ifs.
Right, right, right.
Now you're going to hear something that's actually going to be put in place. And what have they decided on for that element of it?
Yeah.
What have they gone with? So that'll be probably announced in the coming days, like all the things that will have to happen when they're there. How much time in between games will, you know, broadcasters be allowed to be there? My guess is no.
How many rooms do you get? You'd laugh and chuckle, but okay, say you get a big family, say you have a small family, say you get an entourage. Any rooms?
Oh, there's a limit.
Contact with people. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to want to give them each like 4 or 5 rooms to where they can bring anybody in on the premises. You're going to have to be.
Didn't we hear a number on this? I swear we did.
Like, players are going to get big suites.
I haven't heard anything about families being there, though.
Hold on.
You got to assume so, man.
Yeah, and the way Brad Stevens in the clip that you played in headlines talked, it doesn't sound like families.
Listen here, listen.
Are going to be welcome.
Listen to what Brad Stevens. Okay, this is from yesterday's Zoom call.
The way that I look at it from a personal standpoint is just simply family. I think and I know that question is being asked and bannered about the league, and the league has a great responsibility should they choose to move forward and, you know, making sure it's a safe environment. So I understand all the different things they're wrestling with. But yeah, as a person who absolutely loves being around his wife and kids every day, yeah, that the length of time, you know, I think is certainly, you know, a factor.
That would mean, yeah, not being separated from your guests.
That's kind of, at the beginning, it sounds like, no, you got to factor in the safety for everybody. But at the end,
sure
he said being away
family.
From them for that amount of time.
Yeah, and here's the deal. Mark Stein of ESPN, is ESPN? No, New York Times. Mark Stein had this. League sources say the NBA have informed teams that they would likely be allowed to bring roughly 35 players, coaches, and staff into a campus environment. Resumes in July. In a normal circumstance, team travel parties routinely exceed 50 people. So they need to make some cuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, half of that is players if you're bringing everybody. Then you've got a coaching staff. Then you've got trainers and support staff. And you're already at 30 people.
I'm going to scowl be allowed to go.
Then you've got your security that travels with you. I mean, that's a small group of people. for each NBA team. Plus, if your front office people, if any of your front office people are going to go, which I'm sure they are.
NBC Sports Boston, right? How many of them are going to be allowed
in? Yeah. Danny Ainge is probably going to go, right? He's probably going to go with his team.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yes. So I think there's going to be like NBA cameras probably, right? Like NBA cameramen.
League,
there's probably not going to be
cameras.
Pool cameras.
Yeah, pool cameras. That's probably
Mike Gorman. I thought Mike Gorman went on Toucher and Rich a while ago, a couple weeks ago. And he talked, we're understanding we're going to be calling games with monitors. I thought he told them that.
Mike Gorman said that like in February. He thought this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And Mike Gorman has done that before, so that won't be it won't be different for him, but it's not
he
easy.
Lives in New York,
it's not
right?
preferred.
He lives in New York, correct? Mike?
Like New York, Connecticut border. Okay.
I thought he was back here now. I don't know. I feel
I think
like
he has a place in each spot.
He's got both.
That must be nice.
He told Touch and Rich he was quarantining by the lake and where he lives, New York or whatever.
Tough life, man.
Well, some of those places in Connecticut are very rural looking. I don't know if you guys know.
You've been there at a couple golf courses.
I can't imagine.
Stone walls.
Still in New England. The trees and the hills.
Trees and the hills. Beautiful. Very nice.
It's still 30 minutes.
Tough to imagine.
Show that golf show.
So the NBA is coming back. That's what we know now. Mm-hmm. We've got something that we can say is going to be back. There will be games played in the NBA officially tomorrow when they ratify the plan. They're going to Disney World. Your thoughts on that? Reaction to the NBA news today. We'll get to your calls coming up. Here's Hardy with headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
App. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Okay. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We've got a call on the line from Patrick in L.A. What's up, Patrick?
Ooh. Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm calling about these clowns that are calling in about this, you know, moving the timeouts to the second half. I mean, that's just bailing out these crapbag coaches that always puke on themselves at the end of the game because they burn timeouts because their team isn't prepared. Or their clock management, like Andy Reid, blows.
Yep.
It's one of those huge, biggest advantages. Yeah. Just mind-boggling that they want to do that.
That's why we're actually taking away timeouts. We're actually going to give each team two per half from now on.
There you go. Right, sounds fun.
No, we're with you. We're with you on this. These are all bad rule changes. All.
Yeah, I would not make any of those rule changes. You're right.
Great.
There's not a single one in there outside of the 4th and 15, but we disqualified that one. Those other four, I wouldn't add a single one of those things.
Yeah.
I'd be okay without the communication in the helmets. I don't think it would change the game all that much.
You'd go back to the old ways we did it. We were excited when that change came. Because you have to digest, you have to know so much.
Oh, yeah. As a quarterback, it made your life easier. Of course you were excited.
I think it speeds up the sideline communication.
You liked it because it made your job easier. Made life easier for you.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with quarterback's life being easier?
Would I have to go zero out slot, 56, double bag tosser, and they say flip it. Let's go play 15.
I don't know.
It.
Crack a playbook instead of hanging out against the chain link fence down in Foxborough, drinking old styles.
It's not easy.
Go home and study the playbook.
Just want to go home and get some burgers down at the old Derek DQ down there.
I know what you were doing.
The ultimate burger. Yeah. Hey, me and Chad eating a Bledsoe were smoking weed against the fence.
Yeah.
Snapping our fingers like cool cats. No.
Yeah.
I think that's the suggestion. Yes.
Shut up. Too.
I think that's what he's saying. But no, I'm keep it easy, man. Keep it easier for everybody.
Defense is in like a state of panic prior to them getting a green dot.
know? They should never have an error over there on that side as far as communication or personnel. Good God.
You know, we didn't get Hardy's take at the start of the show today, Zoe, because we hadn't yet welcomed him back to the show.
Correct.
On what Chris Sims had to say
right.
about Jarrett Stidham. And if you missed it earlier.
Hardy was suspended for the first 15 minutes of the show. Starts something else today.
If you missed it earlier, we played the audio. We'll play it again. Chris Sims talking about Jarrett Stidham and what he could be, or just really what he sort of reminds Chris Sims of. Let's hear that if we have it.
Really, when you look at him, there's nothing to say or look at him physically and go, ooh, there's a weakness to his football game. He reminds me a little of Tony Romo. He's a very pure thrower of the football. He's got great mechanics. He's natural that way, Mike. He's smart. You know, we know he's being well-schooled up there in New England. He doesn't have a strong arm as Tom Brady, but it's not far off. It's right there in that range. It's a really good arm. And it's a good athlete. Not an athlete that's going to run for, like, big yards, but can move around the pocket and extend plays that way, Mike. That's what I'm excited about with Jarrett Stidham.
Romo. Comparison to Romo. He's talking about some of the physical attributes. But what if the Patriots have a Tony Romo-caliber quarterback that is about to take over and follow Tom Brady?
I think if you say no, that's not good enough. I think you're the ultimate spoiled Patriots fan.
Yes, you're greedy.
Yeah,
you're ignorant.
You could Tony Romo, for as lackluster as he was in the postseason. When we looked it up after he retired and he went into the booth, he had more postseason wins than I thought he did, and he had a little more postseason success than I thought he did, and more importantly, he's a pretty good quarterback. So you don't mind Tony Romo as a quarterback for the most part.
No, okay, problem is you're so trained to be anti-Romo if you're based from around here. Go ahead, Beetle.
Yeah, but he was the starter for what, about a decade? I mean, he had 8 seasons where he was really fully starting without injury, but he was the named starter for over a decade there,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
He won 2 playoff games in a decade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For people that I know that have been around him.
I can understand why some people have that opinion of him.
When you play quarterback for the Cowboys.
As do I.
Like, you're that guy, and you had the upside that he had. A lot of people thought he was Jesus in cleats. You know,
which is insane.
Which is, yeah. And, you know, he's looked at and put on such a pedestal because of who he plays and where he played for and how long he played, who they put around him. He's always had talent.
But to play both sides of this, I guess, from a fan perspective, I say, like, if Tony Romo isn't good enough for you, you're spoiled. But you're also, I think, discounting the coaching staff. Like, if you take Tony Romo and put him in the Patriots organization with the coaching that they have available, and if you take that caliber of player, same makeup, same guy, right? And to Sims' credit, he said it wasn't an exact comparison, but he made him think of Tony Romo. Well, take Romo then, right? Just take Romo with the faults and all that stuff. I think Tony Romo would have had more success with the Patriots than he did in Dallas. Now, again, that sounds like a douchey, spoiled Patriots fan thing to say, too. But we're all just looking at history. We're just looking at what's happened here in the last 20 years. And if the head coach and the offensive coordinator and many elements of the system are still in place, I think a Tony Romo-caliber talent quarterback would be perfectly acceptable. I would be actually pleasantly surprised if Stidham ends up being that good, at least early on. You know, first season, it's a real wait and see. But if by next year he's a Romo caliber quarterback, great. I'd be okay with that.
I'd be great with that. As much as I would then also admit, this is a huge step back from Tom Brady. Can both be true?
Yes.
Where you're happy with what it is you have, but you also recognize you took a big step back.
Well, I think
a big step back is highly likely here.
Yeah.
I think we also got to sort of adjust to that idea.
You also recognize that they don't have the next Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or franchise-changing guy. You know, he's a guy that I don't know. I can't tell enough from watching him in camp and watching him in preseason to know whether or not he is, you know what he's going to be. You know, I am the ultimate. Well, I'm going to have to wait and see him play some actual games that count. You know, crazy as that sounds,
I want to advance.
But I know enough to know that he's not Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes. That much I can pretty much figure out at this point.
So I think Jim would be happy and pleased with Tony Romo as the next quarterback for the Patriots, the new Tony Romo, Jarrett Stidham. But if that's what he turns out to be, and as Hardy describes, he's that guy next year, and we're all saying, great, look, this guy's an bona fide NFL starter. He belongs as an NFL starter, and you can have a good team with him. Should they stop trying to find another guy? Should they stop drafting quarterbacks? Should they settle for Jarrett Stidham if he's Tony Romo? That's something that I think maybe we should hit on a little bit, right? Do you settle?
Different question.
Do you just leave it there?
Beetle moving all the chess pieces here.
Different question.
You know?
Yeah.
Why don't we get to that?
Okay.
And your call, 617-779-0985. It's on the way.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We've got something special for you at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. What?
No.
What's that? Laughing at it already?
No. God, no. I have no clue what it is.
The Photoshop. You know what it is. You know what it is.
I know what it is.
Oh, so you did. So what happens if he's Romo? What happens if Stidham is Romo? That it? You done? You
ride
got your Q- yeah. You got your quarterback and you ride it?
To me, yeah. You ride it.
Or do you keep taking shots?
Well,
because
how good is the defense?
When do you have to decide this?
You can get away with a lot of levels of quarterback if the defense is really, really good.
How much longer control do you have over Stidham?
Good question by Zoe. How much? You know when
control?
And let's say anytime in the next 5 years, you feel like he's good, but we could always do better.
Here's your problem: when the guy becomes good, and when you win with the guy, you got to pay the guy eventually.
You want to be in the position that the Cowboys are in with Dak Prescott right now with Jarrett Stidham if he's Romo?
I actually would not want to be in the problem the Cowboys are having right now.
I agree.
Because you're going to have two guys, him and Zeke, they're so highly overpaid. They're going to be so highly overpaid on offense, it's going to crush your team. You want teams that are balanced with payroll. They're not balanced with payroll, but have sort of hit that jackpot with a new, swanky, young quarterback that you could manage your payroll with for the first 2 or 3 years of his tenure. And that's a problem. Hey, they're talking about the Chiefs potentially could have Mahomes signing somewhere at $45 to $50 million per year. And I just don't know how you function from a salary cap perspective after that. It just keeps going up. It's only going to go up from here. Tannehill got 28.
We all agree, right, that Patrick Mahomes is the best young quarterback in the sport?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. He was drafted 10th. He wasn't drafted first. He wasn't drafted second. He wasn't a top five pick. Mitch Trubisky was the second overall pick that year. Absurd. Yep. But you could see the Patriots at some point in time getting to the 10th overall pick. Or getting to Deshaun Watson was the 12th pick. He was two picks later. 10 or 12 or 15 in that range. And getting someone that could end up being better than what Tony Romo is. You could. It doesn't require a top five pick. It requires a good pick. It requires trading up. And it requires, obviously, a great eye for talent like the Chiefs had over the Bears. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
But it can happen. It's possible. It's possible that at other points in the first round, outside of the top five, you can get a quarterback that ends up being a generational type of talent.
Yeah.
I just think Belichick approaches this like he approaches everything else. You get a guy. If he's good enough to start, you start him, and just at any position. And if he keeps getting better, he keeps getting better. He gets to the point where he levels off, and if that leveling off is good enough then they keep you. If that leveling off is not good enough, then they get rid of you.
But, Jim, it's not like any other position, though, for the reasons we just gave.
But why would you go through a different mentality? That's the same process. Home run.
Why? He's right. He did this with Brady at the beginning of his career. Then the salary started to escalate, and Tom continually took less for the team, less for the team, less for the team. And then it got to the point where I'm not taking less for the team anymore. And that's when they decided to part ways. Tom thought he should have been paid more. They didn't think he should have.
Belichick said this for years and years and years about guys. We coach them. We coach them is how good are they? Where do they come? What are their limitations? When they hit that point where they're not improving anymore, are they at a level where it's good enough, or are they at a level where we have to say we have to replace this guy? It's a simple way to run the organization, but it makes sense. Yeah.
Bad middle of the road quarterbacks make ridiculous money in this league.
But to support that, like even the position of a guy like Patrick Chung, say drafted Chung in the second round of Oregon. He came here, played some safety, played it okay, but then started to struggle at times in certain types of coverages to the point where they're like, okay, he's not getting better here right now, so we're going to move on from him. He goes elsewhere, polishes his play. They bring him back. Now they have a better understanding of what the player is. The player understands what the system wants him to do, and he's in the perfect spot where, okay, boom, and that plug and play, he's good enough. It's not going to get better. We hope it doesn't get worse. You know, he gets banged up, but he's good. He's a good veteran and knows what to do. We're going to plug him here. And then Van Noy, you know, he got outpaid. He got a nice contract. You couldn't afford him. Excuse me, but he was the ultimate. You know, Van Noy's a perfect one of those guys that's good enough, and that's good enough for a while. And then once someone's going to pay him, we're going to have to move on.
So I don't think Belichick will say no. If he doesn't think that Stidham's at the point where he can improve anymore, and then, yeah, they'll still look for a guy next year. I think that's the thing, Beadle. I think even if we think he's good, if they reach a point where they say, okay, we've hit the ceiling with this kid, and that's not going to win us a championship, yeah, they're going to look for another guy.
How long does that take?
I don't know, but Castle talked about that in his year of development when he played when Brady's knee went. He said the one thing that we've learned and learned quickly as quarterbacks is don't make that same mistake, continually make that mistake. And that's the one thing he said he was proud of in that 11-win season, that I continually got better and didn't make the same mistakes. And I didn't realize that coming in, but it was kind of eye-opening as you played. And that's how they approached the position with us. You know, Brady was pretty much flawless, you know, when he played it as far as decision-making and knowing the game and reading things. And that's going to be the thing with Stidham. And when they see that, okay, is he continually making the same mistakes? Can we not coach him to do it differently? And if he keeps stepping in that hole, then we're going to have to start looking elsewhere. But we like what we have right now. Let's grow him. You know, let's water that plant. Let's throw some your acid on it. Let's go.
You might realize that in week 6, Beadle. That's the scary part. You don't know. It might be week 6. It might be 5 years from now when you realize that.
You might be sliding up like crazy next year to draft a guy. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I get that it could take 5 years, but he's under contract for 3.
You'd be sitting there doing a pregame, man. Pound and think, damn, they should have taken Cam Newton. Damn, they should have taken Cam.
If he's still getting better and better after, and he's been playing after 3 years, yeah, they're going to sign him. I don't see why they wouldn't.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you don't think they would sign Garoppolo if they didn't have Brady?
Is he getting better and better to the point where he's Tony Romo in 3 years?
We hope.
I don't know. How many wins could Tony Romo have with this roster right now?
Not many.
Wouldn't you look at the team differently if you had Tony Romo
quarterback?
He's not
going to have 13 wins.
I would up my expectations from closer to 8 to closer to 11. How's that?
Yeah, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, it's a 3-game swing. It's almost a 3-game swing.
I think they're a 10-win team. I don't know that.
I'd say 10-6. Because that's kind of what the Cowboys were always like covering right there, 9-7, 10-6. Can they get the 10-6? Can they get over that hump and get in a wild card?
But it wouldn't blow my mind if Stidham were 10-6. That's the problem. That's the problem with that. And when you just look at like win totals for this season right now, would you be blown away if the Patriots go 10-6 this year?
This is the unfortunate part. This is the unfortunate part of me and Jarrett Stidham. Jarrett Stidham should get a ton of credit if he goes 10-6 this year, right?
Because people have been crushing him.
And like, so
Patriots are done.
If he does go 10-6, he's not going to get the credit. Bill Belichick is going to get the credit. Quarterback won't get the credit.
Coach of the year.
It depends if they win 13-9 or if they win 35-28.
I think even if the quarterback plays well, we'll be, you know, people will be talking about the development of the quarterback by Bill Belichick, not the quarterback himself. And that's just the way it is. But
it's possible.
Like you say, oh, I won't be blown away if Jarrett Stidham is 10-6. You sort of should. You sort of should be blown away. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's pretty damn good. That's right. Impressive. Yes.
Yeah. But you're
and
right,
he should be blown away. He
you're
wasn't
right,
a he wasn't a top draft pick. He wasn't a top prospect. If he gets to 10 wins, that should be damn impressive. And he should get, assuming that, you know, he looks good doing it, he should get a lot of credit.
You're right. For my first thought when you said, yeah, is, oh, wow, they did it again. They found another guy. They found Brady. They found Garoppolo. Now they found another guy. But my first instinct was to go right to they found him. Not he developed. They found him.
Right. They found him. They did. The team did it again. The Patriots organization and Bill Belichick did it again. That's what the storyline will be. Not about how great Jarrett Stidham played to get to 10 wins. I basically call him a rookie. First-time starter in the league, and he gets 10 wins in year one. That's really good. We've got a Photoshop that Josh Fowler, our producer on our simulcast at NBC Sports Boston, put together. We actually requested this a couple of weeks back. You may remember. I think it may have been Zoe. Zoe, did you ask for it?
I did.
It was a Photoshop of Carole Baskin
and
Giselle.
Yes, I did.
And now we've got that Photoshop that is available to us.
Give me the creepy level. I haven't seen it yet.
Josh made us aware of this. We will, why don't we put this up on Twitter?
Okay.
At Zoe and Bertrand on Twitter. Is he chiming in right now or no?
No, it's Jimmy.
I mean, via his Photoshop, yeah.
Oh, okay. I think you're going to ruin the sound effect.
The chicken bit. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
How many times does Josh Fowler get mentioned?
Overkill.
No.
You know what? There's this farm down the road here by us that we go by, and there's always this donkey, this jackass sitting up front that's got a couple horses in there.
Chicken sound is when he chimes in.
I got my kid in a car behind me, and then we drive by the thing. I go, roll your windows down. It's the donkey. The donkey's making.
That's your donkey sound effect? Laughs. Let me hear that again, please. Sounds like the donkey's got something hung sideways there. He's having an issue.
Teeth,
need more roughage.
There ain't nothing funnier than that donkey.
Metamucil for that thing.
His jaw goes sideways and his yellow teeth.
Listen to me, you jackass. You need Consil, psyllium husk fiber.
Oh, man.
All right, we'll get to the Photoshop.
Make you laugh.
Coming up right after headlines, no commercials.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line MA.org.